we said, our main points, I think, on the fourth or fifth page. Mankind's hearts are naturally evil and full of wickedness. We talked about that from the sin of Adam imputed upon his generations that followed him, and how that relates to Christ imputing his righteousness on us, the cross. We're all spiritually dead in our sin against God. We went to Ephesians 2 and we're of the prince of the power of the air, and how we are a slave to sin and not righteousness. We ask the question, can a dead person bring themselves back from spiritual death? No. We need God. We need God to act on our behalf, that we can even to profess our faith or choose him. We said our choice is dependent on his act and not our choice. And we also talked about the Ordo Salutis, the order of salvation, and how and when we are saved by God. But now I think we're at, in the sheet, I was going to try to go off this little tablet I have here, but I think it's on the second to last page under discussion questions. And we talked about, why do so many people, including professing Christians, believe that human beings are basically good? We talked about that last time. We talked about if doctrine of radical depravity is essential to the gospel. Then we talked about, I think, implications for our understanding of human nature and history. So I think number four we're at. If you have your, I have an extra one. Does anybody need the sheet? We're all good? What implications does it have for our doctrine of salvation? Total depravity. When we think about how we are saved, when we're saved, who saved us, what needed to happen to save us, our doctrine of salvation, how does this affect the way we view? Are there any implications drawn from that, that as we've been for, I think, 5 weeks now, 5-6 weeks? So the first. So yeah, we talked about that on the first page, and we are really just using that as total and radical, but using radical to explore more of the depth of our sin in our natural state beforehand. Radically depraved to the core is at least where we're using that, just as a more helpful term as far as our English goes. Radically depraved in front of God, in the face of God. For making me go back over that. Anyone else, implications for our doctrine of salvation? When we view who we are as sinful human beings, has that helped change? Has it changed anything, or did it enforce anything? We're under discussion questions if you're flipping through. Okay, number five. I'll assume you guys have number four. You don't need to talk about it. Number five, what implications does it have for everyday Christian living? As we go about our lives every day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yes. Don't be surprised when the world acts like the world. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. 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 Mm. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, we can't say enough of what the human or the Christian witness does as we're as being tools of God. God is absolutely using us. And to say, I hear a lot about apologetics. You can't argue someone into the faith. Well, you're exactly, you can't do anything into the faith with anyone. You can't love someone into the faith. You can't argue someone into the faith. You can't hate someone into the faith. It's purely God softening their heart and removing the scales from their eyes. Or at least more so, possibly. Jim? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and that is helpful. Not removing the practice and faith of Christianity from just our lives and everyday living of Christianity. And I think it is helpful, especially when we're doing evangelism. We'll just tie, you moved us into six, so we'll just go there. So when we're evangelizing and or preaching, that how does that, if you're thinking about the person who you are praying the most fervently for God to save, how does this change the view of that person? You're thinking, man, they're just being an idiot. They just refuse to see God. They're doing all these things, and they really know God. They really see God, but they just hate him. They don't want anything to do with him. They're purposefully running the opposite direction. How does it change your heart as you view those people? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, and you can see that, yeah. Okay, yeah. Miranda? Right. Yep. We did the same. Yes. Yeah, I went with a conference that Sunday, and on the way there, we saw a hit and run, and the director, being an he's an Army vet, chased that guy down, got him to pull over, and I'm just like, oh goodness, okay. I'm feeling adrenaline, but for the wrong reasons. And you know, we're being. I was trying not to be harsh on this guy, and he blew a .25, you know, and. Should have probably blacked out, but here he was driving, and he probably was not really there, but I spent the time thinking, like, this could be me. I could easily be this guy. I mean, he had the beer cans in the seat next to him, and he was, as he's going down the road, and it does draw that compassion. On one side, I want to be like, you idiot, you could have killed someone. What are you doing? But on the other hand, it's like, okay, I understand. Like, man, I feel awful for you. I feel compassion for you. I feel love pulling me towards you in a need to say, you need God. Like, start seeing where you are proper. We said proper anthropology before. Okay, start looking at who you are compared to God, and hopefully God starts moving in you to bring you to Him. Yes, it should change our heart in a way that now we properly understand. It's like when which one of you said about kids? Yeah, you view a kid and you're like, what are you doing? I just want to give you a spanking. Why? How could you ever, like, just get out of my sight? But then you go, oh, you're just a toddler. Like, of course you made the dumb decision. Of course you just walked all over the folded clothes again. You know, and of course you spilled the milk and threw the pizza on the floor. Like, of course, okay, I understand why you did it. Okay, we're not excusing it. Now you sit in timeout, and now we go back and pick up your stuff. Okay, anything else like that? As you're viewing maybe that person you're praying for salvation the most for. Anything like that? Miranda, you more? Oh, Penn and Teller. Saying how much do you have to hate someone to not to show tell them that they're going to hell for all eternity? Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think my personal thing is pride. To say how, you know, we're talking about the works-based of, we go, wow, I have no pride in this. I can't look at you and go, well, I got it figured out. You know, how could you not easily pull these strings together too? I think it's a humility for me to say, like, I look at this drunk driver and go, with my family history, I could have easily just been that same guy. I want to love you and help pull you. Even if you're not saved, I want to pull you out of that trash into less trash and hope and pray God is saving you through this. Yeah. Right. Yeah, that's the most powerful thing about testimonies, right? It's going like, wow, you're just like I, or you were just like I was, and look at you now. You keep raising your hand, I'm sorry. God just hasn't saved you yet. Just go do your, yeah. Is there another answer? Yeah, and hold on to that too for the, I think at the very end, we start going through implications for Christian doctrines and the way we view God. Yeah, the supreme gospel, the point of it all, of we are completely hopeless, even ourselves, if Christ didn't come and do something for us. All right, number 7, moving through. Does the doctrine imply radical depravity, total depravity, that seeker-sensitive church services are misguided? How do you think about that? Does total depravity imply that seeker-sensitive services are misguided? And there's no right or wrong. Well, there's maybe some wrong answers, but there's not only one right answer. Yeah. Oh, it was at Nate? Yeah.
Two doctors. Yeah. Two
Christians. Yeah. Yeah. Like... Yeah. Yeah, Diane. Yep, and yeah, and that was the carnal aspect, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. They give you the energy again. Pep rally. That is a good. Yeah, that is a good term. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. But. Mm. Right. So you're almost saying the seeker sensitive service doesn't give you the whole pie, doesn't give you the whole view of our who we are. Yeah. Proper anthropology. Yes. Seeker sensitive. Anyone else? Earl? And the other one was down where you used to live. Yeah, okay. And so would you say on the scale of, we'll just be basic, negative, positive, where do you see seeker-sensitive falling then? Okay, okay.
Whatever label.
Yep. I see. Okay. Yeah. He abhors the evil. Yeah. Sure. Okay. I see you keep. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you do. Please share. Yeah, common grace verse. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As far as secret sensitive church, I think it's important. I would say the theology and the methodology of how they're going to face how.
You wouldn't know anything about that in your church background, would you?
No.
Good. Yeah, and at least in class, and Bruce, this is just came from a class lecture, printed out the notes, and we're just walking through this now. And so in class, it was very much the same. There were kind of two or three parties drawn, and everybody kind of fit into one, and we went back and forth. So there wasn't one exact answer. Not to say that seminary students are always right, because we are always wrong. So yeah, going down to radical depravity defended, objection one that you will hear, wasn't Gandhi a good man, even though he wasn't a Christian? Even so, that's who they'll go to a lot. You'll hear, the greatest of all guys. Surely he was a good man. He did good things.
Yeah, he was.
And
that was standard
good, yes. And then then you do a little bit of digging. He was also doing some bad things. And he was, we're just detouring of what we meant over here before, to even saying the most of those people always surprise us. Like, oh man, I thought he was the best person in the world. How could that happen to him? Well, we're not basically good. The way we view it, as we've always viewed it, we're just basically bad, saved from by a redeemer when something bad happens. This shouldn't be a surprise. Even a basically good person, we think as we view of they're doing good things, but in the background, you search up Gandhi even as just he's the person who's brought up doing did some pretty bad things as well. Yeah, as the next step towards the gospel, yeah. Oh, yeah. What if you hear this? If unbelievers can't respond to the gospel, there's no point in preaching it. And I'll tell you, in a negative way, this was probably the one time I raised my hand in class and got the right answer. And we were in class a whole lot, so I'm not being prideful. What would you say? I mean, if unbelievers can't respond to the gospel, there's no point in preaching it. This goes back to, I think, what Nate had said. There shouldn't be unbelievers in your church service. We shouldn't be doing maybe something that seems seeker-sensitive, but should we preach the gospel if they can't respond? Mary. Mm-hmm. True. Yes. Greg? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and that point, too, always convicts me of when I start getting into some fad and I'm telling everyone about it. Like, I was on Weight Watchers and it changed the way I view food, and that's, you need to do it, too. And it's like, well, when do I talk about Jesus that way? That's where I go back. Gosh, Jesus changed my life. He saved me from the Ephesians 2 person. He made me a Romans 8 person, a Romans person. Like, this is who Jesus is, and I'm not preaching. I don't speak of him how I speak about Weight Watchers sometimes. That's what convicts me, as you've been to that point. Andrew first. Yeah. Right. Yeah. Yeah. What I had said, if unbelievers can't respond to the gospel by themselves, okay. Yes, we are the means. They can't respond to it possibly by themselves, but we are the tools of God who are going out and being a witness by our lives, as Diane had said, by sharing the gospel, which God uses to soften hearts, to say, okay, yeah, they may not be able to respond by themselves. God's going to do it, but God's going to use something in our first cause here to say, wow, I've never heard of a life changed like that. I've never heard of a gospel like that. Or I've been chasing this other thing that is leading me to destruction, but ultimately I'm just going to die and leave this earth I'm trying to fix. But Christ offers an eternal gift and salvation. Objection 3, if we aren't able to do any good, God can't hold us responsible for our sins. That's a tough one. You've probably heard that before. I'm sure you've wrestled with it too. While she's searching, Miranda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're right. Keep going. Yeah. Right. Preach it. No. You did it. Well, and it goes back. Right. Andrew, go. Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Good. Yeah. We think of, we go back to the Pelagianism that we talked about before, of the people, the guy who said, well, no, we're not stained by original sin. We're only held accountable by what we have done and not by what someone else has done. But going back to this doctrine that we have walked through scripturally saying, no, we are stained by sin. Then we have made our own sinful choices because of what Adam had done through the genealogies. Okay, Greg, Pastor Greg. Yeah. 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 Yes, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Good. And hopefully the scripture that's in this as well. If you feel lost and you go, oh, man, I know we talked about this. Ephesians 2, Romans 8 and 9. Okay. Hopefully this list is as you're going through it. Okay, so now we have radical total depravity. We're going to skip one just to get through this. I'm just going to burn through this, and then we'll talk about attributes of God and how we view it differently. So I'm just going to burn through. Radical depravity explains why the world is in such a mess and why people commit moral atrocities. Radical depravity exalts God's free grace and mercy. Radical depravity reminds us what we would be were it not for God's grace and mercy in our lives. The only thing that distinguishes me from the most evil is God's grace. Radical depravity keeps us humble and reliant on God's continued grace and mercy. It guards us against self-righteousness and boastful comparisons with others. We cannot take any pride in who we are today. We're a combination of radical depravity and grace. It reminds us that education and technology are not the solution to the world's problems. Go back to the gospel and what Andrew had said. Radical depravity keeps us from being discouraged when our preaching and evangelism aren't successful. And this one was huge for me. We went on these missions trips, and I remember being in the van on the way home because I didn't save anyone. And how could I not save? I'm just worthless. I'm not as good as that guy who saved 10 people. It's like, the grace of God, the providence of God or not. These people are radically deprived or they're not. Radical depravity keeps us from being discouraged when our parenting doesn't produce good children. Radical depravity means that pastoral work must take into account the seriousness of our fallen state. I think this goes back somewhat to this next comment here. It goes back to the seeker-sensitive. You're just putting makeup on a corpse. Putting makeup on a corpse to make it look pretty, even though it's still a corpse. And radical depravity encourages us that the new creation must be no less good than this world is bad. And so I wanted to take time here to discuss. We've got 10 minutes left, and we'll wrap this up. And radical depravity be done. But talking about attributes of God and how this has changed your view of God's love for us. The John 3:16 love that he came down, he's not restricting his love to just Jews, but now to the entire cosmos, every class and native and all of that, his love for the world now. How does this change the depth of God's love for you? Fighting against him, yes. Yeah. God's patience. Or God's grace. Christ's sacrifice. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. How personal this God is. The beauty of this God. When someone wants to push God far away, they're like, no, you don't realize who this God is. I think of too, and it'll come back if we get to another doctrine of grace, but Jesus thought of you on the cross, not only then, but also before the foundations of the earth, but then on the cross going, I see your sin and I die for it, and it's washed away right now. For you, for me, anything else before we've got 5 more minutes, Miranda? Well, because you fought against that when we first came to Reformed theology. Yeah. You were saying, yeah, what about all these other people? Yeah. Right. Right. Well, good. And that's good. Let's focus now on Christ. We've got 5 minutes. All of this, when we think of who Christ is in eternity, who Christ was in the 30-some years he was on the earth, how does this change your love, your thankfulness, who you are in relations to others because of Christ? We'll just theologize from this point. Yeah. Okay. And that you're saying the implication of since he saved us, and we're seeing the what he saved us from, and who he is as the glorious Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for that.
But that's what I mean. It's part of dying. Well, on his son, not only to, but well, someone to look as an example.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. The imitators of Christ. Yes. And how much more do we need that now? Now that we understand who we were, and we were following Britney Spears, you know, we were following all these other, I followed baseball players, and then you're like, oh, they're just such good baseball players. And you find out what they're actually doing when they're not on the field. And what'd you say? Shania Twain. Yes, thank you for, I was a huge fan of Shania Twain. And I named our dog Shania. Yes, so sweet. Okay, back to Christ. Any last? You're no longer invited to Bible study, Jason. Any other? For the God and Christ, who they are. Yeah, great. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We talk about those prophet, priest, and king distinctions of King David was so separate from all of us, but this king came down to us and is personal, gives his spirit to indwell. This is what my favorite part about this doctrine is, the proper anthropology, the proper view of humanity. That if we can view ourselves of our position, and we just keep sinking lower into the pits in our view, and we see God from who he is. Now, how many people have we, I think someone else talked about this a few weeks ago, don't view us and God that far away. Well, I'm not that bad of a person, therefore this God, since I'm not that far away from him, I'm probably okay with him. He'll probably just let me into heaven. But you don't know who you are properly. And that is the reason you don't know who God is properly. Sovereignty. Sure. Yep. Being able to magnify God in that sovereignty, yeah, of losing the proper picture Final thought. Any last thought? You're holding on to this whole time. You didn't say it, but you want to spit it out right now. All right. Father, thank you for this time. Forgive Rick's sins, for their...